Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day today. I am so excited that you're joining me today. I will be talking about a very, very important topic. Stay with me. You can relate to this. And you want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you tell them about Jesus. And you tell them about your faith. And tell them about the truth, that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me, Jesus says. This scripture in John chapter 14, verse 6, causes a lot of problem with a lot of people. And you can agree with me that a lot of people do not agree with the scripture where Jesus says, I am the only way, the only truth. In other words, if Jesus is claiming to be the only way, the only truth, and the only life to the Father God in heaven, he is saying, in other words, that every other that is claiming the contrary is lie. Every other religion, every other faith, every other belief, in other words, is lie. And Jesus is saying, I am the only truth. And therefore, if he is the truth, then there should be a lie. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal your truth to us. Open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts as you speak in Jesus' name. Amen. So, beloved, today I will be talking briefly, not in depth. In Isaiah chapter 43, I will be speaking from this scripture here. Sometimes back, my young daughter came with this question after reading the scripture. You know, I've had that thought go through me previously, and I'm sure you have too. We believe that God created everything. He is the source of everything. We believe that he is the source of life, and everything comes from him. We believe also that everything we see created, there is a creator, and God is the creator. And having this thought, my daughter came to me and asked, if God created everything and everything comes from him, then who created God? Was God created? Where was he? Did he just exist? That is a subject that I cannot delve into with this podcast. It's a lot. I want to share an insight because there is a little bit of this answer in this scripture in Isaiah chapter 43. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, it says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So witnesses is very important. In the mouth of witnesses, two or three, truth is always established. There has to be a witness that what you are saying is true. For example, if we as Christians are saying that we have the truth, Christianity is the only truth. This is the real truth. There has to be witnesses that Christianity, our faith, is the truth, right? Similarly, if people are saying, how do we know that Christianity is the truth and not other religion the truth? If you say Christianity is the truth, how about the other faith, the other religion? They are saying that their religion is the truth. And now we are saying our faith is the truth. That religion has to prove those witnesses to prove that their religion is true. Similarly, the Christian faith has to produce witnesses to prove that it's true. Well, In this scripture in Isaiah chapter 43, God is speaking. God himself, who created all things, is speaking to Israel. He is saying, verse 1, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So God himself started this dialogue and began to reveal who he is. If he is the creator, which rightly he is, then he began to write and reveal himself. I, he is saying, created Israel. Continue in verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me." Verse 6 says, "I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth." And that was verse 6. In other words, God began to reveal himself as the God of Israel. He created them. He made them because he chose them and honored them and loved them and said they are so precious to him. He began to reveal what he has done for them. When God was now revealing and saying Israel specifically in this scripture that they are so precious, he created them, he made them for himself, he formed them. Verse 7 gave us another insight. He started with Israel, but verse 7 now broadened the people. Not only Israel anymore, because verse 7 says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." In other words, everyone that is called by God's name, everyone that has acknowledged God of Israel as their God, everyone that has called upon God of Israel, he said, bring them. He created them for his glory. God himself formed us. God himself created us. He made us. From verse 8, he began to write down and prove his case. He said, bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Witnesses. So if you say, in other words, that the other religion are true, do they have witnesses to prove they are true? Whatever religion they be, whatever the God they are serving, can they prove it? And God is already proving himself here. He said, verse 9, gather them together. Assemble the people of the world with their idols, with their religion, with their faith. Bring them together. Which of their idols has ever foretold or predicted or proclaimed or declared such things? Which of them can predict what will happen tomorrow? Which of them? That's one proof. Which of those gods that the world religion are serving, which idol are they serving that can predict the future? Which of them can tell future? He said, which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? This is a very important point not to miss. So in other words, which of those idols can tell of the future? Can they? Which religion other than the God of Israel, Christianity, can predict tomorrow? That's what God is saying. Which of the idols can predict what will happen tomorrow? If they can they provide their witnesses of such predictions? And when they do, who can verify that they spoke truth? In other words, if those other religions are claiming that they are true, like Christianity is claiming that they are true, can they produce witnesses of their predictions? Because Christianity can and have. Can we even verify that they are speaking the truth? Christianity can, and Christianity has. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy," talking about the holy God of the Christian faith. God the creator, God the source of everything. He is saying that he dwells on high, a place that is unreachable, a place that is inaccessible. It is so high and lifted up. It is so lofty. He inhabits eternity. He is saying that he himself dwells in eternity. He himself is eternity, everlasting, unending, never ending. And his name is holy. He is saying he dwells in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. In other words, God dwells in the future. He dwells in eternity of eternities. That means a reality that has no beginning and has no end is a reality that is constantly never ending. No one can dwell in such reality except the creator of such reality, God himself. In other words, God himself is the one that knows future. If he dwells in eternity, he already knows the future from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything before it occurs in our reality. So, in other words, God himself, who dwells in eternity, he is saying before anything happens, before anything begins, before anything starts, before anything ends, he knows. There is no small G-O-D who can prove that he knows future except God himself. And God himself proves and saying in this verse, Isaiah 43, verse 9, "Gather to me together, everybody in the world, bring all their idols, bring them in. Have they ever foretold future? Have they ever predict any future, what will happen tomorrow?" But God himself saying that he dwells in future. If he dwells in future, then who else? And in verse 10, he is saying, here's the truth. He is the one who dwells in the future. He is the one who predicts the future. He is the one also that will predict and bring witnesses to prove that he is the truth. He predicts the future. And now, what is God's witnesses? Verse 10. It said, "But you are my witnesses, O Israel," says the Lord. So God himself has witnesses of his truth, witnesses of his prediction. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. So God himself has witnesses who witness that he is true God, who witness that he is in existence, who witness of his supernatural workings, who witness that he knows future. Every witness that is needed, every proof needed, every verification needed, God already supplied that in his people, Israel. Because verse 10 says, but you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God, and there is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. Hallelujah. So God himself is saying, listen, it does not matter what idol or what religion, in other words, people are serving. Those religion and those idols cannot prove truth. They cannot prove themselves. They cannot predict future. They do not dwell in future. They are not the true God. But God himself, capital letter G-O-D, is saying, I am the true God, and I have witnesses in the people of Israel. The people of Israel themselves, I created them as my witnesses to carry my glory. I created them to reveal who I am. I created them to reveal my glory and to tell people about me, the truth. Israel is a proof, is a witness. And God is saying, there is no other God. Capital letter G-O-D. Whoever saying that there is another God, they cannot prove that. It's not the true God. There is no other true God except the capital letter G-O-D, the God of Israel. Any other is a lie. Any other is false. No wonder God came through Jesus. Jesus declared himself boldly and said, I am the only truth. I am the only way. I am the only life. Nobody can come to my Father, the Creator, except through me. Nobody. And God here is saying there is no other G-O-D, capital letter G-O-D. God, no other. There has never been. If there has never been any other God, then those religions that are serving small letter G, God, they are not serving the true God. So those other religion other than Jesus must be serving something else other than the capital letter G-O-D, the creator and source of everything. They are serving idols. They are not serving the true God of heaven. Because God is saying himself that he is the only God. There is no other God. There never has been and there will never be one. So if there has never been, then every other religion or God, small letter G, they are idol, they are false, they are not true. Because God says there is no other God, and there never has been, and there never will be. Verse 3, God is saying, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. In other words, what is Savior? The word Savior in verse 11